So we are into August, and in now I'm doing a series on You Asked For It, friends. You asked for it. And so I appreciate those of you who have turned in a question or something that you would like me to address. And today I am speaking in a response to a question from Colleen. And she was asking about how do you find this balance of taking care of yourself while also helping and taking care of others. So my talk title is Finding a Balance, Self-Care versus Helping Others. So as we kind of breathe into this, you know, idea of, well, what in the heck is self-care? Because in our very busy and in our fast-paced world, it usually doesn't take a high precedence, does it? And when we think of self-care, oftentimes it's like, seems like sort of an indulgence or a pampering, you know, day at the spa or something like that. And self-care goes so much deeper than we give credence to it around being centered in the core of our being first, in order to be there and out in the world for others. In other words, we forget that it's so important to fill the bank of our own soul, of our own needs, of our own being. And it's really hard to be there for others, to love others, to care for them, to help them, when we haven't even learned how to love and care and take care of ourselves. And oftentimes there's kind of this sense of, well, pampering and self-care is for women, right? Well, no. Self-care is for all of humanity. And it's so very important to recognize, just like for any of you who have done strength training or go and have physical therapy or work with your body, what are the trainers have you work with first? Core strength, right? Your core strength. And it is the same thing with recognizing the core of our being. That core self needs to be tended and nurtured in order for us to experience a sense of satisfaction in our lives, a sense of having enough to give in the ways that we do truly want to give. And so I do want to talk a little bit about this idea of self-care being indulgent. And I would like to share something with you from Tammy Forman. She's an author and she's a founding executive director of Path Forward. She's a frequent speaker. This is a bit of a long reading to share with you, but I think it captures it in a nutshell. And she says, the way self-care is portrayed today is completely backward. It's characterized as an indulgence. This means both that the practice of self-care is something we are occasionally allowed to indulge in, and that self-care should feel like an indulgence. Self-care is not an indulgence, it's a discipline. It requires tough-mindedness, a deep and personal understanding of your priorities, and a respect for both yourself and the people you choose to spend your life with. It takes discipline to refuse to take responsibility for other people's emotional well-being. Okay, breathe with that one. How often do we feel it is up to us to make someone else happy, to be there all the time for them, to take care of? She goes on to say it takes discipline to take full and complete responsibility for your own well-being. And we've tended to learn through past teachings and the ways we are brought up is like, oh, take care of and be there for everybody else, right? And yet we've lost track of the fact that how can we be if we are not connected to how to be there for ourselves, and we have not filled that bank within ourselves. And many of you who fly know that, what do they say if you're in a plane accident? What do they say about when the oxygen masks come down? Put your own on first. And what is that gut response? Oh, no, let me put it on my kids first. And then they say, and then the parent passes out, and then the parent and the kids don't have any oxygen. And that's kind of what happens in our lives. So she goes on to say, self-care is a discipline because it's not something you do once in a while when the world gets crazy. And yes, it's wonderful to take time for a spa day or to do other things, and we'll talk about some ways of self-care later on. But this is something we need to do day in and day out. Oh, that's what it says. It's what you do every day, every week, month in and month out. It's making the commitments to stay healthy and balanced as a regular practice. It's a spiritual practice, friends. Ironically, when you truly care for yourself, you are actually in a much stronger place to give of yourself to those around you. Those who take care of themselves have the energy to take care of others joyfully, because that caregiving doesn't come at their own expense. In scripture from Mark 6:31, it says, "Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them," and this was Jesus to his disciples, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." How often do we do that in the workplace, or when our families are, you know, need to get to soccer practice or dance class or whatever it is? How often do we stop and say, let me take a minute and connect to spirit and rest? And in Luke 5:16, it says, "But Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness to pray." And friends, we get so caught up in the busyness of our lives all the time that we forget to nurture ourselves first. Eleanor Brown, who is a New York Times bestseller and author and a speaker, she says, "Rest and self-care are so important. When you take time to replenish your spirit, it allows you to serve from the overflow, because infinite spirit is limitless. But if we don't partake of that sustenance, of that banquet of the spirit, we don't have anything left to give." She says you cannot serve from an empty vessel. And Brandon Harvey, he's a fabulous keynote speaker. He's the founder and the CEO of Good, Good, Good. And he actually produces a good news newspaper and a blog and does so many wonderful things. He said, "It's incredibly important that each of us takes the time to practice self-care. This isn't a gender-related thing. It's not just for women. It's for every human being. When we practice genuine self-care, we get the opportunity to understand ourselves better, recharge our batteries before they're empty, and maintain the ability to make a difference for our loved ones and communities." So how many of you are sitting there saying, doesn't pertain to me? Little part. Many of us do. Until all of a sudden, you know, there's the knock. It's like, well, how are you feeling inside? Are you feeling replenished? Are you feeling renewed? Are you feeling uplifted? Do you feel connected to a source that you can breathe in and be a part of, that helps you navigate through your everyday world in order to be able to be there for others as well? In scripture from 11:28 through 29, it says, "Come to me," and this is Jesus saying, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." So what Jesus is saying is, come into an understanding of what I'm teaching you, what I'm showing you, what I'm demonstrating for you. The yoke to take upon ourselves is a yoke of understanding. It's a willingness to remember to center first in spirit, to learn from what Jesus was teaching, and to recognize that being gentle and humble in heart is our willingness to be open to set aside our agendas that we have, right, at that human level, to set aside those agendas and to breathe into spirit, and you will find rest for your souls. So it's a wonderful scripture to go back to remember that we are ever invited into self-care, into taking care first and foremost of our own being. So how do we go about doing some self-care things? And I'm going to invite those of you who are online and at home to post some of the things that you do for self-care. And I'm going to bring up a few that we might not think of initially. One of the first things about self-care is learning how to say no. Boy, I'm not always real good at that. How about you? Especially when someone says, oh, please, please, please. And when there's that feeling like, oh, someone's needs are greater than mine. I should. Right? Learning to say no is something that takes practice and discipline. So again, this self-care is an ongoing day-to-day practice that we participate in. Stephanie Lehart, who is, she's this amazing African-American author. She's a poet. She's a youth motivational speaker. And she says, give yourself permission to say no without feeling guilty, mean, or selfish. How many of us have that skill? Nobody's raising their hand.
I can say no.
What?
I can say no.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
And you know, sometimes we can, and we do. And this is just an invitation, though, to be more aware of our ability to say no. Anybody who gets upset or expects you to say yes all the time, or even a lot of the time, clearly doesn't have your best interest at heart. Always remember, you have a right to say no without having to explain yourself. Be at peace with your decisions. And Dr. Claudia Black, she is a best-selling author, world-renowned expert in addictions and codependencies. And she has a very simple line that says, saying no can be the ultimate self-care. So I'm just going to have you sit and wherever you are at home and just hear for a moment too, and think of the times you said yes. And you didn't really mean it, but you thought you should. And feel also into the times when you were able to say no, even though somebody might not have been real happy with that decision. Times that you were able to say no. And how ultimately, beyond the human guilt stuff that we sometimes run, how if you were centered in the core of your being and knew that that was the correct thing to say, how freeing that was. Susan Weiss-Berry, who is a holistic health coach and a mindfulness specialist and a writer, she says, with every act of self-care, your authentic self gets stronger and the critical, fearful mind gets weaker. Every act of self-care is a powerful declaration. I am on my side. I am on my side. Each day, I am more and more on my own side. Now, as I read that, do you feel anything inside you that kind of goes, oh, that's selfish? Just be aware. Just notice. Because it is not a selfish thing to own your own being and to be present first and foremost for yourself. Because until you develop your inner core strength, until you love yourself, you really cannot love others. And we've gotten these false messages of it's selfish to take care of ourselves. It's selfish to put ourselves first. And it's such an erroneous message, because we really cannot be there until we have filled our own hearts, our own being. Anne Lamott, who I've quoted her before, she's a novelist and a public speaker, and she says, almost everything will work again if you unplug it for a few minutes, including you. I had to unplug my computer last night just to reboot it and get it so it would print my stuff so I could get it for the talk today. And how often do we think to unplug, to take time apart, and to value that as being as important as all the other things we do? Friends, self-care is vital to enable us in helping others. Self-care is what comes first. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit more about some other ways to take self-care, and I'm going to open the floor. Sue Ellen, help me out here, because I know you usually do. Any of you, just raise your hand, shout it out. What do you do for your own self-care? And Susan, are there some on there? Thank you. Yeah, go ahead.
So Elisa Weitz said boundaries. Tamara Ashley said say no. Keeping toxic people at a distance, taking time for self-improvement and maintenance. And Karen Libby said meet a friend for lunch or shopping.
Be a friend what?
Meet a friend for lunch or shopping.
Absolutely. Okay. Some of those were on here. Call a friend. Watch a funny movie. Journal. It says brain dump on here. Get that stuff out. You know, the hamster wheel that goes around and around. Some others. Yeah, Sue Ellen. Well, and I really appreciate you saying that, because we do sometimes feel mean when we set those boundaries, because there's this erroneous thing of, oh, we have to be nice, and we have to... Well, and we do. Sometimes it takes a stronger setting of boundaries than might feel comfortable, but people are not used to receiving those boundaries. And unless we uphold our own, how is anyone else going to honor our boundaries, right? Sue, you were going to say something.
Well, I was just going to say, I like to sit out on the porch or something.
Yeah.
Nature and...
Yeah. How many of you have fur babies, fur children? Yeah. Oh, yeah, I have a new precocious little child, Lily Bella. Hey, cutie pie. She's probably at home watching on my computer. She probably flipped it open knowing her. Susan, you have...
So Suzanne Gibbons says, nightly walk along the river, and Elise Veit, nature walks and forest bathing.
Anybody else? How about, you know, just taking a nap? How about taking time to pray or meditate or dance like nobody's watching? What a prayer that is. Read. Oh, and what about, there was so popular for a while, and people haven't been doing it as much recently that I've heard of, but they had all these mandalas and pictures and stuff. You get these wonderful coloring pens. Oh, I just could get lost in doing that, or knitting, or crocheting. Tim, were you going to say something?
Yeah, a frame of time that I just don't take any phone calls.
Ah, downtime, turning off the phone. Not opening your computer, man, boy, we are, and I talked about that a couple weeks ago, you know, that social media addiction that is happening oftentimes with younger folks. Well, it's happening with me. It's happening with all of us. That compulsion, I've got to be on the phone and see what the weather's going to be like today, and to watch my cats on the video cameras, or to see who sent me an email or a text, and to just turn that stuff off. Anybody else? Go for a boat ride. Absolutely. That just is a wonderful feeling, to step outside of the normal realm and be in the water and being out in nature. What about, oh, yeah, Susan, go ahead.
So Christina Olivier Strunk says massage or spa day.
Ooh, massage. Awesome. And you know, you can actually give yourself, your own self, a hand massage or a foot massage. But then go ahead and go and have a, you know, and go to a spa or wherever and have a nice full body massage. What about being mindful of going to bed at a good hour that gives you some rest as you're able? I saw that, Terry. He was reminding Sue. You know, we all have different circadian rhythms, and so choosing that appropriate type of thing for oneself. And some people go to bed earlier and get up earlier, or not. And you know, it's just, but honoring it for ourselves. What about cleaning out a junk drawer that just drives you nuts every time you open it, right, and stuff flies out, and stuff it back in? Taking time to declutter, so that your life feels more open and free. Many of you have alarms on your cell phones, right? And sometimes you just set them for the whole week and you forget to take them off for the weekend. Well, I have mine on because people want me to show up here on Sunday mornings, but that's appropriate. But my weekend is Monday and Tuesday, my day's off. And it's so nice not to have an alarm go off. Susan, any other responses? So I'm just going to invite you, you know, in taking a look at self-care versus helping others, considering the things that maybe you are already doing and give yourself a high five and congratulate, but then pick one or two other things. Maybe someone said a suggestion you haven't thought of, or take time for yourself to come up with something that would be really nurturing. I personally am going to nurture myself with some of the ice cream after the service with the ice cream Sunday fundraiser that the youth are doing. That was a little plug for them. Yeah, but, you know, those different ways that we nurture ourselves and really be mindful. And so as we then move into helping others, when our bank is full, when our core has been fed and we feel nurtured and rested, it is an absolute natural thing for us to do to help others in different kinds of ways. And the most important thing as we shift into helping others is to begin really practicing discernment. To notice, you know, when someone asks something of us, and we have to decide, will we choose to do that or not? Notice the shoulds and the have-tos that start running through our minds. And I bet any of you can think of something from this past week or 2 weeks where you, oh man, yeah, I better do that. I better do that. And so it's wonderful to begin being aware of those things. And when someone asks or someone needs help, tune in. Listen to inner guidance. Listen to your core and trust in that. In Scripture, Jeremiah 17, 7 through 8, it says, "Blessed are those who trust in the Lord. They shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots by the stream. It shall not fear when heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green. In the year of drought, it is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit. So what is this saying? It's reminding us to center, to do self-care connected to spirit, connected to God. Because when our roots are planted in that as source, when doubts come up or when we're asked to do things, we can trust that we will know the truth of our own answer. Yes, I will. No, I choose not to. And we will not wither as we say no when it is discerned in the heart of our being that that is the correct answer to share. Oh, yeah, Susan, thank you.
We had one more come in for self-care from Vicki Thompson. Music, singing, playing an instrument helps me relax.
Oh, yeah. It does. And my brother-in-law, who you met a couple weeks ago, he all of a sudden just had an interest, oh my gosh, and in not dulcimers, but Vicki type. So he bought old ones, and they're a musical instrument with strings on them. Auto harps. Thank you. God, sorry, Evan. I'm sorry. But he decided to start buying up all these old auto harps that people were just getting rid of, and he took the strings apart and he painted them all these beautiful colors and restrung them. And so their separate little bedroom office room now, when you go in, it's like a little auto harp museum. It's fabulous. You know, find a new hobby. Find something to do that fills your soul with satisfaction. And he'll strum the ukulele he has too, and then they sing along. And so these are the things to do to replenish self and then to be able to share that with others. Mary Lambert, who is a poet and a writer, she said, self-care is the number one solution to helping somebody else. If you are being good to yourself and your body and your psyche, that serves other people better because you will grow strong enough to lift someone else up. And Katie Reed, who's a writer, she's a speaker, she's a mental health advocate, I love this. She said, self-care is giving the world the best of you instead of what's left of you. You know, we oftentimes try to do so much that we end up operating from an empty bank, and others can tell. So I'm just inviting you in the weeks to come to honor yourself, to value yourself enough to practice self-care, to practice those things that will replenish and revitalize and bring you joy and bring you a sense of accomplishment and a sense of purpose. So in closing, I will share this quote from Morgan Harper Nichols. She's an autistic African-American. She's an author, a songwriter, a musician. And she says, and take this deep into your heart, you are worth the quiet moment. You are worth the deeper breaths, and you are worth the time it takes to slow down, be still, and rest. Ah, friends, let us breathe, let us rest, let us renew, let's trust in spirit to guide us in saying no and saying yes when it's appropriate. And give thanks for an opportunity to be all of who we can be and then be able to share that with others.